it's that time of the year where families come together, where people gather around, where people want to be around those that mean a lot to them. And I think on my mind at the moment, there's only three little words that need to be said. Damn, it's cold. It's not just me. It's not just me.
In the UK, it's pretty cold right now. We've had snow, we've had sleet, we've had rain, we've had that kind of slushy, icy effect as well. It is pretty cold. However, I've just been on a Zoom call with some guy in Australia where it's 30 degrees C. So it just depends what part of the world you're listening from.
So what you're saying is move to Australia?
Oh yeah, you could do. On the side of the globe, you'll get some heat, right?
While you're chatting to this guy in Australia about work, I was on the phone to my mum. And she's kind of telling me about how she spent way too much money on Christmas presents and now she doesn't know what to do for the rest of the month and she's still not bought for certain nephews that she doesn't know what to buy for because they're 16, she doesn't know how to relate to them, so she's giving it to me, which I'm struggling with as well. But anyway, long story short, she wanted to talk about the cold.
We were talking about ice.
And she was showing off actually a little bit. I've got a sister who lives in Macclesfield and she was kind of saying she's had the most amazing snow and sent me pictures and it looks so beautiful on the hills. And I'm like, we've got slushy ice and I've basically walked mud into the house three times in the last week. So, you know, we live different lives. Anyway, welcome to the DigiEnable podcast. My name's Darren, this is Liz. We are DigiEnable / Can Do Leads. You'll be getting more and more of that as we kind of move forward. But this is our kind of end of year review. It's the last podcast of 2023. Arguably, because we're not going to do one until mid-January-ish time, it's also the first podcast of 2024. So what we thought we'd do today, rather than just looking at what's going on in the news at the moment, we're going to look at what's been going on in the news over the last 12 months, but we're also going to make our predictions for what you're going to see in 2024. So an absolute ton of stuff happening. And very, very exciting stuff as well. How's your 2023 been?
I really enjoyed it. I feel like everyone's had a bit of a chop and change year. So, you know, I think we're still coming out of the years from 2020 onwards. And I think this year has been a solid year. Everyone's got their head down and got stuff done. But I think everyone's also at the same time decided, you know, what's different? What do I want to do? Where do I want to see myself going? This year my word of the year was align, and I think I've kind of gone some way to doing that. Everything feels a bit more joined up, but I still think I've always got more work to do.
Interesting. I think it's interesting when you talk about like words of the year, because I've been thinking about that over the last couple of days. And align is a great word, but I've been having a lot of conversations this month, especially when people are thinking about what they want to do for 2024, and the word that seems to keep popping up at the moment in various forms is holistic.
Oh, okay.
And
nice.
It seems like over the last year, I think you're right, there's definitely something that's changed this year in people's mindset, where it's not just about push, grind, progression. It is a bit more about balance. And when you ask a lot of people now, you know, when you kind of do the whole Simon Sinek, what is your why kind of thing?
Right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The why for a lot of people seems to be comfort, balance, wanting to spend more time with their family, having good social time that allows them to relax for when they have to come into hard to work. So it seems like in the previous way, we've almost had that apprentice-like hustle attitude. At the moment, it's becoming much more about doing what I need to do and automating and simplifying processes to enable me to do what I need to do. But the whole point of that is to give me more time to do the stuff that I enjoy and increases the quality of life off the back of it.
Definitely. I mean, our kind of slogan is using digital for human benefit. And that's what it always goes back to. Like, if you can see a tool or a resource or something that will help save you time or energy or money, like, you can get distracted by, you know, that shiny magpie syndrome of going, oh, well, let's try that. But actually, if you put some focus into picking a handful of those things, that can save you time at work, in business, so that then you can have more time with your friends and family. And I think that balance, I think that's something I've always been really keen on. But I think the past few years, I think people have definitely like reassessed what they want to do in life more.
Absolutely. So as you listen to us for the next half hour, you'll hear this coming up time and time again. But the message that we're really trying to get across is that 2023 and now 2024 is absolutely about working smarter, not harder.
Oh,
let's get rid of
the
hard work.
I love that. Yeah, definitely.
So 2023, what's happened? It continues to be a year for socials. Ultimately, there's always, so many businesses we're talking to are now seeing social media as the new way to reach out to people. We always have to add this caveat because it's absolutely necessary. But when we are talking about socials, it should not be the be-all and end-all of everything. There are still a lot of very kind of traditional ways of communicating with people. Both myself and yourself are very active in terms of physical business networks that we go to because the human touch, the one-to-one connection, is still massively important. But if you're in the early stages of your business or you are looking to kind of automate certain strands, then social media is a very easy way and probably the most effective way to be able to do this. And what a year for social media it's been.
Absolutely.
I don't think we've done a podcast which hasn't included at least a 4-minute section on Elon Musk over the last 12 months.
Bless him, he's been busy, hasn't he?
But we went through the start of the year. I mean, was it even the start of this year when he bought Twitter? In the last 12 months, it's no longer Twitter, it's now called X. But slowly, we've seen these kind of new features being released all the time. The first big one, obviously, being pay for your blue tick.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things he did see in buying Twitter and renaming it X was he could make some money out of it. And sadly, I think that's gone by the wayside now. The number of followers, the number of percentages of reach that we've seen, like our clients and you know, kind of colleagues seeing that big dip in numbers, I think he's got less reason to actually sell any of the platforms and the features and things because people are like, do you know what? Actually, that platform seems like it might be dead in the water.
And the weird thing is, it's not. It's still very useful and it's fantastic for research, but just the whole kind of a little bit more restricted in terms of what you can talk about, for good and for bad. But it's also become a little bit more commercial. And actually, if you're looking at the news right now, what's being talked about is actually that Twitter may be losing its value to the point where someone like Elon Musk might lose interest because all these big commercial sponsors that saw it as a viable outlet to their audience don't want to be involved anymore.
I think there's only a few scenarios, really, that you would use Twitter, you know, kind of X, formerly known as Twitter. I think I caught myself when I've been watching things like The Big Brother on UK TV, and there's been a live sort of chat element to it where you can connect with people who are having the same conversations about that same topic. Really, Twitter is the only platform that still enables you to do that quite quickly and live and at the same time as other people. So I think that's really one of the only like time-based reasons I would use Twitter. We've seen drops in our percentages of followers. You know, it's, I think it's figuring out, you know, who your audience is, really.
The social media connecting to the social experiment stuff is actually quite interesting because it's been a big year for that as well on TV, not just the return of Big Brother, I'm a Celebrity, Strictly, all those kind of shows that have been coming out. And then obviously the big one towards the end of the year was the live reality version, not live, but the reality version of Squid Game, which came out as well.
Netflix, yes, of course.
So lots of people having those conversations. And I think you're right, Twitter is still that place. Facebook certainly doesn't allow you to do this, where you can look at the wide range of opinions that people have in a very chronological, easy-to-read form.
Yeah.
The only other place I've seen that's similar to that and has a similar level of conversation has been Reddit, which has seen a bit of a resurgence
over the last year.
But you're right, it's becoming restrictive. And I think this is where we are going to see a change in 2024, is that one of the things that you should be thinking about if you've got a business is when it comes to social media, pick your platforms wisely, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the podcast. The other big change this year has been TikTok. Now, if we go back 12 months, TikTok was almost the Wild West of social media. Anything goes, and you could do what you want. Yeah. There was no regulation. There was no restrictions. Yeah. You could say what you want. And then slowly, we've seen these restrictions that have started to come in.
Yeah.
Part of that has been commercially orientated. TikTok have looked at different ways to monetize the app and get people to pay. You see a lot more creators now there that, to the disdain of a lot of the TikTok community, almost kind of begging for gifts to be sent to them. So people are spending pennies on roses to send them across. But as we know, certainly as I was taught growing up, pennies soon mount up. And a lot of money is changing hands. But that's only going to continue to evolve. TikTok in the last 12 months has become an amazing platform for business, certainly in terms of TikTok ads, certainly in terms of reach, and certainly in terms of expressing your products and your services in a new creative way. And it doesn't look like that's going to stop anytime soon.
I don't think so. And I think it's also been interesting to see that all of these different platforms have sort of tried linking with a different platform and then disconnected. So TikTok's a great example how, you know, last year it was connecting with Shopify shops. So you could create a TikTok video, add a link into it to your Shopify shop, and then someone could click on that icon, go straight to your Shopify shop and purchase the product that you are trying to sell. TikTok, again, as you were saying, you know, they've got wise to this in terms of the commercial aspect of it. So now, I think it was August, they've stopped supporting the link to Shopify shops in favor of you having to use their specific TikTok shop and creating your own TikTok shop on the platform. So they're basically taking the cut versus the Shopify shop, which would have been traditionally taking the commission on that. So interesting times to see that even the different social media platforms are trying out different things. And then you sort of, like any sort of social media person who's looked at social media in the past sort of 10, 15 years, you know, Twitter was one of the first, Facebook was one of the first. They've all evolved. They've all started to look like each other. And once one's done a sort of hot feature of the moment, the others have too as well. And I think from our point of view, you know, we're getting quite a lot of interest in our training sessions around how to use ethical socials now. Because you're absolutely right, people are sort of getting to the point where they want something better from a social media platform. They want to go where, you know, it isn't all about just commercialising the features that are available.
I think we should talk about this a little bit later, because again, with a lot of the conversations that we're actually having at the moment, a term that keeps coming up that's big on the lips of businesses for 2024 is sustainability.
Yeah,
and I think there are various ways to look at sustainability, so we'll certainly cover that a little bit later in the podcast. I do remember, June? It was the middle of the year, I think, one of the podcasts in the middle of the year where we were talking quite a lot about TikTok, because the big news was, even though there was a lack of regulation, which meant a lot of people were sharing like clips from films and their favourite movies and their favourite TV programmes. And TikTok was doing absolutely nothing to protect the copyright of these programmes. Mm. Suddenly out of nowhere, this collaboration with IMDb pops up. And it meant that when you were looking at a clip of a programme, even if it wasn't authorised and copyright cleared by the producers of that programme, you could still put a link in there that would take you to the official IMDb link so you could learn more about the programme, learn where you could buy it, stream it, see who was in it. So it felt like it was a step in the right direction, but for many, still not far enough for them to move forward. So it will be interesting to see over the next year how that develops. The big topic of this year, and I think I say the big topic because I don't think a single podcast has passed this year where we've not discussed this, artificial intelligence.
Absolutely. What does AI stand for? And I think that's been, there's been a culmination of different things this year. You know, AI, artificial intelligence, has been around for a long time now, probably talking 20 years, the same sort of duration as social media platforms, but not very many people seem to still understand what AI is. This year, we've had an explosion of news in the press talking about none other than ChatGPT, and I think it's made the one of the resources of AI a bit more accessible, a bit more understandable for the members of the public.
Absolutely. And it's not been a straight linear line. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. So go back to the very start of the year, and a lot of people were asking the question, what is ChatGPT? Because all we were seeing in the news was the concerns and the struggles within academia, that people were going to start writing their essays and the teachers were concerned about this. And we had the government talking about how AI can be evil and used by terrorists and take over the world. But for most businesses, it's about making their marketing a little bit simpler. So we've ran a number of training sessions. Lots of people have ran training sessions. But AI has become very, very central to this conversation now, where usage just exploded at the start of the year. Then weirdly, it started to drop a little bit. And I think it's because people started to see, A, little errors that started to creep in, but also some of the limitations, because I think even those that created these AI solutions didn't quite anticipate how fast it was going to grow. So ChatGPT being the most popular and the most obvious example, in the middle of the year, they started really enforcing the usage restrictions, unless you were on the paid models of the platform, that after you'd used it for a little while, a little message would pop up and say, almost in a very sort of official way, sorry, you're done for today. We want to give other people a chance. So people were starting to get annoyed about that.
Yeah.
And then they start exploring what other options there are to them. So the Google Google Bards of the world start to pop up, and people were diversifying across these different platforms, which then brought the next interesting element, because I think these AI platforms suddenly realized they're in competition with each other. So they had to start releasing new features and trying harder. ChatGPT evolved into ChatGPT-4. ChatGPT-4 integrated DALL-E, so you could start creating images of part of it as well. And it's very exciting when you think about this, because if you think about how fast it's actually progressed over the last 12 months, what do the next 12 months hold for artificial intelligence?
And going back to the, you know, the way we've seen social media evolve over 10, 20 years, I think we're seeing this in AI and, you know, language processing tools, because let's face it, all of the ones we just mentioned, like ChatGPT, are only one little segment of what the AI tools out there can do. There are so many more that aren't named, but I think it's because ChatGPT became hot in the news and, you know, people were having a go at it, because in the in one of the versions this year, it was the first time that it was publicly accessible, that people could literally just sign up for a free account and have a play about with it. So I think it's interesting to see how, just like social media, we have free tools, and like you said, ChatGPT evolves into a pay-for version, evolves into an enterprise version, so that your privacy is covered. So, you know, if you're using the free version, and I've said this on quite a few training sessions recently, please don't put any personal details into it, any business, trade secrets, any finance, because it's a machine that's learning all the time. And if you're sticking all your personal and business critical data into it, it is then going to use it for other things. It's not like in its own little sandbox. So that's where the enterprise version of ChatGPT comes in, for example, because that's used by people like KPMG now, where you're using your own kind of internal network. But, you know, in terms of how do we see social media moving on, AI in a similar way, we're going to start charging for features. Like Microsoft now, I know we mentioned this story earlier on in the year, but it really surprised me how Microsoft's Copilot, which is that inbuilt AI feature they were trialing at the start of this year, you know, how much is that going to cost? That's $30 per user per month on top of whatever Office 365 package you've got going on. So, you know, they've sort of trialed it as a free version, got you used to it, and then whacked a cost on it. And I think we've seen that with social media. I think that's the way that also AI will start going as well.
I think we've seen that in life. And actually, it's not a bad business model to actually work to, even though it's kind of going to take a lot of people by surprise. You know, if we go right back to war times, sugar used to be dirt cheap at the start of the war because people used to get a bit of an energy buzz off having sugar. And then when everyone realized they got this positive feeling and energy buzz, the price of sugar went up. You know, we've seen all these different platforms where we've got ChatGPT, people have started using it, people have really seen the benefits, now the price is going to go up. And I think there's a general rule here that you're going to see across most of everything that happens within business, certainly from a technology point of view. The best model businesses tend to use is give it you for free. Take a loss in the first couple of years, make it an essential part of your business, then whack the cost up. Hootsuite this year was a perfect example of that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Businesses have been using Hootsuite effectively for social media management for the past 4 or 5 years. Fantastic piece of software. We've been heavily promoting it in terms of what we do. This year, the free package no longer exists.
Yeah.
And I think if you use it to quite an extent across all your social media channels, you're talking 300 quid to sort of buy into that as well. So do kind of see this as a word of caution, I suppose. If your business operations become highly reliant on a piece of software, expect there to be a cost, if not now, at some point, because
absolutely,
that's how these businesses make their money. And there, another prediction for 2024, you might have to start stretching the bank balance a little bit when it comes to software purchases, because if they're integral to your business and they're needed, but they're still cost effective to use, be prepared to spend. It's going to be an interesting 12 months. The boom that came post-COVID with a lot of companies burst a little bit this year. So some of those softwares like Zoom that we all got so used to using, and have now almost kind of rebelled against a little bit. There's a very mixed opinion on this, isn't there? Some people have really embraced and adopted the kind of digital working from a distance culture, where others are saying, actually, that was a horrible experience and a horrible 2 years. I want to get away from that as much as possible. For us, from a kind of an individual perspective, that's a personal choice. We can choose whether we want to stay remote and work via video or whether we want to be in the same place as people. But obviously, for those companies that provide those remote working solutions, that's now having a financial impact. And for companies like Zoom, we've seen a lot of redundancies this year.
Absolutely. So most recently, we've seen Spotify get rid of, 25% of its staff. Zoom earlier this year laid off 15% of its workforce, because, you know, how much further can you get with features within Zoom? There was a mass load of people in 2020 that, for obvious reasons, were on Zoom and MS Teams. Those platforms, my personal opinion, weren't really up to scratch in terms of using them full time. So they very quickly added features, added stability. You know, at one point, Microsoft Teams said, no, you can only see 9 people on a Zoom call because we've got so many people using MS Teams, we've not got the capacity and the bandwidth to use all the servers and stuff at the same time, because they never expected it to be anything.
Here's a question for you, because you're right. In the last 2 years, Zoom as a particular platform has progressed at an amazing rate, up to the point now where when we're doing Zoom training sessions, things like auto transcription with a stupidly high level of accuracy is really helpful for us, the people that want to take a transcript away of what we do. What has been, as a novelty, your favourite feature released by Zoom so far? And just to give you a few seconds to talk, I'll share mine first.
Okay.
When Zoom first came out, and for most people now, it was just a series of squares on the screen. But someone in the development team at one point decided that we really wanted to be in virtual surroundings. So they allowed it to start having yourself sat around conference tables or scaling the top of a mountain. And I do remember a 3-week period where we were like, this is amazing, putting ourselves in the most random situations until we actually realised it's not as amazing as we actually think. And my second highlight of all this time was that governor in America that went to an official meeting with legal representatives and didn't know how to turn the cat filter off, so we just did the entire meeting where I think they were sort of discussing whether someone should go to jail or not, and he just did it as a cat. Amazing.
And also there was a similar one right at the very start of 2020 when everyone was using MS Teams, that someone was the face of a potato and couldn't switch it off. And so I guess learning how to, if you are going to play around with it, learning how to switch those filters off as well. My favourite thing, do you know what? It just being stable is my favourite thing about Zoom. Whenever I use MS Teams, Well, do you know what? The potato is only on MS Teams, so you asked a different question there. Zoom does have, at this time of year, you know, reindeer antlers, celebrations. I guess the emoji reactions is quite a cute thing that's appeared. So rather than doing a thumbs up, which internationally thumbs up isn't actually that that polite in different countries, so using, you know, like a heart emoji to say yes, I really love that, is actually quite a safer thing global wise. I think it just being a stable and reliable thing, and it not crashing, and you know, when everyone was on it, I think there were all of those features. And that's why I guess, you know, companies like Zoom have got to saturation point of like, well, what else can I do with it? Whoever's still using Zoom and still using, you know, pay for packages, they're still going to be doing the same thing that they were 3-4 years ago. So I think now is the time where you're like, do you know what? We've got it as good as we can get without launching physical programs with it. Physical Zoom rooms exist now. So I think there's other different development aspects of it, but in terms of like needing all the coders to program new features, I guess it's reached saturation point. And you know, the number of people that are using Zoom has clearly decreased over time. So, you know, there's not as much profit to keep as many staff on.
Absolutely. And I think it's always worth bearing in mind that even if Zoom does now stay relatively static in terms of features, but improves in terms of service and quality, the one thing that we will always have from Zoom is that we do know now that Jackie Weaver does have the authority do what she wants to do, and I think we always have to
that will only be a joke for UK people, okay? No. Google it if you're not.
Surely she's international.
She might be.
As we say, Google it. Okay, let's talk about what's coming up next year then, because I think this is where we get really excited about what the potential for the next 12 months has. we still talk a lot about digital marketing, about use of social media platforms. And one of the biggest questions that we always get is, which social platform should I be on? The answer, and no one ever wants to hear this answer, is it depends.
I hate that phrase.
I know, but it completely comes down to you. Now, there was a theory at one point that you should kind of pick about 3 or 4 platforms and then try those out and see how they work for you. But actually, the best advice you can have at the moment is pick one. Pick one and just do it very well, because, and I know you talk about this certainly a lot with your kind of productivity groups as well, is there is a element of focus which comes when you pick one platform that you want to try for good reason, and you can look at the stats behind it to why you're actually picking that platform, but just go all in and try and make that work for you for a while.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also it's rather than spreading yourself too thinly, if you are going to do social media sort of creation and posting yourself, to try and just focus on one makes most sense, because if you are just doing it yourself, it's a time kind of restrictive thing. So to get back to people, to comment, to engage, like, it does take a lot of time. And if you aren't going to outsource it, that's your time that is, you know, potentially being used on other things. So you've got to make it worth your time, I guess.
And that bit you mentioned is especially important, because I think there's still a lot of people that see it as a place where you can post and where you can share, but actually that's just the beginning of the journey, because the engagement and the customer focus and the service that you provide to those people has now almost become the more important part. Sorry, I almost choked mid-sentence there, but let's just skip and pretend that never happened. It is Christmas.
Okay. After Are you all, eating a mince pie or something?
No, that's what makes it worse.
Right,
not
okay,
at all.
No, right, not fine. At all. Okay.
I've also just been accused. There was crumbs on the sofa behind where I was actually sat, and I've not even eaten a biscuit, so I don't know where they come through, but I'm just going to take the blame for that one as well. Anyway, pick your social media platforms wisely.
Absolutely.
There's an old favourite coming back to the forefront next year, we believe as well, and we're really pushing this with our clients, but Google Business. It needs to be back on your agenda. Google search is still on the increase. Google search is going through the roof. And you hear a lot of talk about SEO saying it's important to be on the first page, it's important to be in the first three. What you can get with Google Business, if you get it right, is you can actually be at what we call Google Position Zero. Because if you're a local business and you're looking for customers, people are looking for you. And if they type into Google a service which matches what you actually promote yourself as, if you can get yourself ranked high on Google Maps in that Google Business listing, you will appear on top of everything else. Now, we've made a lot of changes over the last year as a business. We've incorporated a new piece of software into the work which we now pass on to our customers, and we work with them to develop it around their business. And one of the key aspects of that is reputation management. And it's the idea that if you have happy customers, getting them to leave positive reviews about you on Google specifically is a massive ranking factor when it comes to the maps. And you just tell me, well, let's look at it from a logical point of view. If someone comes to Google Maps and they're looking for a plumbing business, if they can see Joe's Plumbing that's got 55 five-star reviews and looks amazing, and the last one only came in 3 days ago talking about what a great team it was, compared to Bob's Plumbing that has only got 6 reviews and the last one was 6 months ago, it's a no-brainer of which one you're going to pick up the phone to.
Yeah.
Now, there's still a lot of businesses that are kind of trade-based and don't see themselves as working digitally, that don't really get the value of this. And that's when we're on a bit of a mission at the moment, because
definitely,
we want to absolutely share that value. And we make that a very, very easy process for you to be able to go to. Because, like most things, chasing customers for reviews and not having the time to be able to do this just means it falls to the back of the list, and that's something we want to make sure doesn't happen. So the software that we use is just a one-click option. You click on the customer's name, you click add to workflow, and it fires emails off in their direction. And we've seen this work very successfully with a number of businesses over the last few months. So whether you want to work with us, let's share a link to our software. We've got a special deal in December and January which we're going to be sharing. We'll make sure you guys get glance at that. But even if you don't decide to use us and don't use software, make it part of your practice. And we've done this in various ways. We have software solutions. We work with a roofing company where we've actually altered their business card to include a QR code so they can give it to people at the end, and that triggers a way of them generating reviews.
Nice.
Doesn't matter how you do it, just make sure you're asking for these, because if you, well, you want to be, you don't want to be Bob's Plumbers. And I can't remember the first name I used. but you want to be the other plumbers, because you want to be the one with loads of 5-star reviews, people raving at you, and then being very recent, because the trust factor that they share is huge. So this is our number one prediction, or our number one on this podcast. It's probably not the top prediction that we've actually got, but if you take your Google business listing very seriously over the next 12 months, you will see more leads generated by your business, and you will see an upturn in your conversion rate at the same time. So please, please, please do that. We're also going to be encouraging people over the next 12 months to be a lot more productive in what we do. You would have heard the phrase earlier, work smarter, not harder. This is obviously your area of the business that you really focus on. Should we talk about what's going on with the Productivity Club?
So for 2024, we're going to focus on webinars. So one every other month that you can get involved with, different topics, and just a way of actually just checking in, see how you're doing. We've got lots of other stuff going on. We've got e-learning courses that you can dip in and out of at your leisure. But one of the things that I've had a lot of requests for recently has been actually getting together, having a date in the calendar that helps people be more productive. So we're going to release the dates across the year. If they aren't already on the website, they will be soon. And you can get those at productivityclub.co.uk/webinars. It'll have the next 12 months worth of webinars in the calendar, different days, different times, to try and accommodate different time zones, people around the world, and also your schedules as well. Come join us. It will be a time to actually just reflect on what process you've already got going on, a little bit of a topic and a theme each time, with some real helpful, actionable takeaways.
Perfect. And I love the phrase that you've used over last year about reclaiming time, energy and focus. And from the results that we've seen for people, money's an important part of that equation as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you're saving time, generally you're saving money. When you're saving time by doing the best energy-based tasks at the right time, so you're focused on your energy. If you're actually more focused when you're doing the thing that you're doing, you'll save more time, and then that knock-on effect is always, if you're saving time, you're saving money. It might be for your staff that can go on to different things, and that kind of loops back around to the, if they're using an AI tool, that's also doing the same thing. So there's lots of elements that we offer that interweave. So the Can Connect system that we're offering, you know, we've got the training on the different elements of how to use automation and integrations. We've got the just being personally more productive and feeling a bit more on top of things. There's different strands that kind of interweave each thing, and you can just pick and choose one if you want to. But I think it's going back to your original word, holistic approach to actually, you know, working smarter, not harder. That seems like a really nice umbrella phrase to use.
Well, it makes a difference, doesn't it? I was having a chat with a mate the other day, and she, you know, to give her full credit, she works very, very hard in the business, and she's got a great business that she's building. But the first thing she said to me is, I'm exhausted. Like, the last six weeks, I've just gone non-stop. I've not been able to take a day off. I don't know what's gonna happen if it keeps going like this. And my question to her was, when have you got a week off booked?
And her
answer to me was, just at the end of March next year. And I said, you really need to look at taking a bit of time off in January, even if it's a week off. And, you know, the conversation kind of went, but how do I do that? Because if I take a week off, I'm not earning anything. And I said, from what I've seen from you and what I've seen from some of the clients that we've been working with, if you take that week off, it's highly likely when you come back that following week with a renewed sense of energy and vigour and motivation, you will probably earn twice as much in that following week.
Absolutely, because you've had some downtime to sort of defrag, relax, reprocess. Also, there's the kind of the psychological benefits that go with having downtime, but also you're also sort of, it's known to have happened that you're more creative in that downtime anyway. So you've taken yourself away from the computer or the office and actually have more creative ideas because you've allowed your brain time to sort of percolate and aerate out at the same time as well.
Aerate your brain. That's a concept we've not got.
Especially if it's cold at the moment. We'll go back to that bit that we started off.
Just pop the lid off and go for a drive. So I went. One of the things that's really interested me over the last couple of months, and I do think this is an area that's going to be a big focus on next year, as we say, is this idea of sustainability, not just in terms of your own personal sustainability, but in terms of environmentally sustainability. That's not even a term. Environmental sustainability. And the conversation that I had only a couple of days ago was, if you look at everything in the news, if you look at politics, if you look at what companies are aiming for at the moment, the concept of net zero is absolutely all over the place. But the new phrase which seems to be coming around at the moment is actually net negative. And it's the idea that what we should be aiming for as businesses is not just to reduce what we do in terms of our carbon footprint, but to look at ways that we can actually put more back than we take out. So we're having a positive effect as well. Now, obviously, that kind of works well for us as a business because we're primarily digital, although we have to acknowledge that even digital means of doing things do have a small carbon footprint to them, but we actually get to reduce what we do as much as possible. If we travel around the country for events as much as we can do, we try and take trains rather than drive. We do whatever we can do to reduce our impact on the environment. But are you thinking about what this means for your business? Now, the reason we're bringing this up is not just because it's a kind of quite sort of liberal, nice thing to do for the country. But we, as an organisation, we spend a lot of time tendering and working with councils on different projects. They're moving in that direction as well. And it's becoming a key part of the tendering process is that you have to show how you're putting sustainability at the top of your agenda. Otherwise, you're not going to get the tender from those councils in the first place. So if you're a growing business and you're thinking about tendering or you're looking for bigger clients in the future, start thinking about this now, because if you've got the policies and the procedures in place sooner rather than later, when you're at that point of asking for money for these bigger organisations, your chances of success are also going to increase massively as well. And we get to save the environment for future generations.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is always a nice bonus.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's pretty much it for this week. We have been talking for our allotted 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer today. Let's see what magic can happen in the edit. Sorry if I spoil that for you. It's not live. But it's been a really interesting year, and it's been a very positive, and I think it's been a productive year in terms of what we've seen in 2023.
Yeah.
Lots of new relationships, lots of new collaborations, lots of new ways of working, and 2024 feels like it's just going to be more of the same. But we do ask you to reflect on those two terms as you move forward into next year. Explore ways that you can work smarter, not harder. What we certainly don't want to be seeing with our networks is people burning out, having to step away from their business because they've just kind of made themselves too tired and they can't cope with the way their business is growing. And let's be sustainable in the process, not just in terms of the environment, but our personal sustainability, because we want ourselves to last for a long, long time to come. It's going to be a good 2024.
I think so.
I can feel it in my water.
Right, okay.
No, is that not a
reverse
term?
No, that's a bit weird.
I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah, slightly less icky.
What is the what is the term?
It is, yeah.
I can feel it. I can feel it in the air.
No.
I feel like I'm going into a wet song now.
Let's leave it. Unless it's going to be a Jingle Bell song, let's leave it there.
I always feel like I've just gone Jerry Springer-esque, where it felt like a very serene, very positive final message, and then talk
you
about peeing myself to finish off. I didn't think the words you were going to use were shout then, but let's move on. Thank you very much for listening to our end of year podcast.
This is
DigiNable /CanDoLeads. My name's Darren, this is Liz. And just a massive thank you to you if you've listened to us over the last year, and we hope you stay with us over the next 12 months. The numbers, we don't know who you are, if I'm completely honest. We just see numbers tick up on the podcast.
Yeah.
But every time that number ticks up, we have a bell that goes, we don't really. It just feels good when we see those numbers coming in. I almost feel like one of those Jordan Belfort Wolf of Wall Street, where a kind of you have to ring a bell when you make a sale.
As well. Okay, that's cool.
If we did for that podcast, it would be just an endless bell 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Love it. But please do get in touch if you have any questions or things you'd like to see in the podcast in future.
Definitely. If you're listening to us before December the 12th, 25th, have an amazing Christmas. If you're listening to between December the 25th and January the 1st, have a great new year. If it's past January the 1st, we hope you had a great new year and look forward to 2024. If it's later in the year, what have you been doing?
Why are you not listening already? We've also got a webinar, if it's not too late, 4th of January to plan our year ahead. So everyone's more than welcome to that. I'll stick a link in the show notes. I hope you have a fantastic time, everyone. And we'll see you in our next podcast on the other side of the year.
Laters.